let's get right into it and let's see what the Lord says on page 63. Let me go back and pick this up. Page 59. You know, we just came off of lesson five and we were talking about the government of God and how Jesus taught with authority, how Jesus exemplified the teaching ministry. Now we want to move further to understand the apostle, understanding the apostle ministry, the ministry of the apostle, and why you are part of an apostolic church, an apostolic pastor, and what makes the difference between the denominational, the pastoral denominational church versus the apostolic pastor kingdom movement. What makes them so different? What makes them so apart in their structure, in their operation? And so we want to see that difference, and so that you may be able to understand, you know, that both are necessary. Both are necessary. So we're not kicking down the denominational pastor. We're not against the pastor. We're for the pastor. And, you know, and so we're here to esteem and build up and encourage how that he can embrace the apostolic so that his church and his ministry can have a flow from heaven to earth and not a flow from trying to get from earth to heaven with man's systems, earthly systems. So on page 59, we want to pick up at the last paragraph for our lesson number six. And this is number one. It says, God's household literally rests on the foundation or leadership of the apostles and prophets. The whole house of the body of Christ rests on the leadership, the leadership of the apostles and the prophets. This is vital. This is also scripture that we bag up to the paragraph before we got question one. We read there the scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 through 22. It says, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and peace to those who were near. Talking about Jesus Christ. For through him, we both have our access to one spirit, to the Father. Our access to the Father is by one spirit through Christ Jesus. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. They were built, the Ephesian church was built upon the apostles and the prophets by accessing one spirit. You see, even though there was Gentiles and they were separated because of racial divide, the Jews, the Hebrews, the Gentiles, and all the other different culture that was there. And so the Gentiles was considered as pretty much as dogs, you know, in the eyes of the Jews. But Paul wanted them to know that this gospel was preached not only to the Jews, but to those who were afar. And so therefore, they are now being grafted in by one spirit through that gospel that was preached. They are now saved. Jesus now Lord of their life, and they are grafted in by that one spirit. And so he says, you have the same legal authority and rights as all others. So there is no difference. There is no separation. You see, and that's why the church is the only place where all people are accepted. All people are accepted. All cultures can come in and come into this one kingdom culture and find this one Christ, this one Lord, and become baptized in this one spirit. And we all worship God abundant that. And we become that one culture, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And so This is why it's important that we understand that the teaching doctrine of the church is built upon the teachings of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief apostle. Very important that we understand this principle. So you don't have to become bitter just because you're in an apostolic church, upon an apostolic anointing, and others may be in different denominations, may have different administrations, operations. Listen, you don't have to become bitter to those churches or those denominations. We understand. We understand that there are those in those churches, the denomination will be saved. They will be saved. You know, they just don't experience the heaven to earth government that you're experiencing, demonstrations and the powers and the signs and wonders and miracles that you're experiencing. They don't have the revelation that you're having, you know, even though they're on the outside of it because they have chosen to do it by a man's pattern and not the kingdom pattern. An earthly pattern and not the kingdom pattern. That's the difference. Listen to what he says. This design allows the body of Christ to be built up into a holy temple, and ultimately to become a dwelling place of God. Isn't this what we desire? Yes, that is what we desire. We desire God's presence. That when we worship, when we live in our personal homes and our personal lives, we want the presence of God dwelling on the inside of us, covering us and God speaking to us and have that fellowship with God. Isn't this not why when God created man, he created man so he can have fellowship with man? Some of himself, you know, his image, his likeness. So that fellowship continues in the church through you and I longing for God's presence to dwell in us because we keep that presence because we operate in the kingdom government, the heavenly government, that model that Jesus exemplified in his fellowship with the Father. Therefore, we capture his presence because of that, and we keep it because of that. Let's look at something. He says, the next paragraph, he says, as I've been hinting, the critical flaw I see in the miracle design for church structure and government, though it's not limited to a miracle, is disorder. When we're not operating according to God's original plan and his mandate and his agenda, then we are walking in disorder. And we know that God is a God of peace and not a God of confusion. And so therefore, God cannot invade the ministries or churches, denomination belief that is walking outside of his order, that is not accepting his apostolic prophetic order for the church, according to Ephesians 4. When we only have a pastoral model, we are limiting ourselves and we are limiting God from flooding the worship and the praise with signs, wonders, and miracles and healings and deliverance because of the fact we have limited him in our scope of his government, allowing the heaven to earth model to be manifested. We keep the apostle out. We keep the prophet out. We don't want nobody prophesying. We don't want nobody decreeing, declaring the future or giving us a preceding word or a rhema word of what God is doing and what the church need to be busy about the Father's business. We don't want that. We want to just have a good worship service, hear pastor preach, you know, and go home. That's what the denomination of churches are doing, a good ceremonial service, a traditional service, and let's go home. We don't want to be here 2 hours, 3 hours, you know, seeing people getting healed, and we don't want to see people being slain in the spirit, we call, you know, people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. We don't want all that stuff going on. We just want a good worship, praise and worship from our choir, pastor give us a word of encouragement and release us so we can go on about our day and get busy about whatever we're doing. You know, that's what most people in Christendom see church. And that's why the unbeliever is hesitant about becoming part of the church and coming to church on Sunday. Why I need to get up and see the same old mundane worship, dead services, no signs, no miracles, no power, nobody getting out of wheelchairs, nobody having testimonies of being delivered from cancer, none of those things. And why do you need to see that every Sunday? I see that in the world every day, the same old, same old. You see, no power, no authority. No power, no authority. So therefore, we must exemplify this authority, this power in the earth by allowing the apostle and the prophetic, the prophet ministry to be released in our church, as well as the evangelist and the teacher. Now, number two, let's go to number two right quickly on page 60, second paragraph. The second paragraph. It says, when heaven is the model for our culture, the primary result is peace. That's number two. Underline it. Make sure you got that. When heaven is the model for our culture, the primary result is peace. See, Jesus came and preached peace. The kingdom is peace. You see, righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's peace. So therefore, the church model is the place of peace. If there's any comfort, if there are any resolution, if there are any way of coming to realization, they should be able to find it in the church, the place of peace, not the place of confusion, not the place that Paul talked about in Ephesians 4, where we rail against each other and rebel against each other. And we bite each other and we're full of jealousy. He said, no, this is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why God has given us the fivefold gifting so that we may eradicate or get rid of this type of mindset, this type of environment, this type of culture, where the church of the day, the kingdom of God is not in competition. We're in complementing, fulfilling the mandate and the agenda of heaven. That's what we're all about. And therefore, you have to be about that in your individual. See, when every individual person in our congregation begin to tap in and understand that they are the temple of peace, you are Jehovah Shalom resting on inside of you. The God of peace is on inside of you. The nature of God is peace. The spirit of God is peace. And so therefore, when people embrace you in the church, we all operate toward peace. Even when we have to deal with confrontation, because there will be confrontation from time to time, that focus is to bring peace, not the confusion, but to bring peace and rest in the church. When there's rest in the church, the glory will fill the house. When there's rest in the church, the word of God will expand mightily. When there's peace in the house, people will begin to join the church and become partakers of the sanctuary or the local assembly. Because why? Peace abides in the house. Peace is abiding in the house. So the primary focus of the apostle is one of the, in the culture, is the results of peace. When we allow the apostle, not the, even though he has a set order, and you know we don't like change, we're going to take change easily, but change is necessary for perfection. And so therefore, that perfection comes when we allow the apostle to restructure and to bring that change into our lives and into our mindsets and capture God's kingdom focus. Then we're going to experience peace, prosperity, and increase in our personal lives and also in the congregation. And in the congregation, and then we can spread this out into the world, everywhere, every place we go. It says, peace is the goal of heaven because it is the primary quality of the government of God. Wow. It is the primary quality of the government of God. Peace. You know, even when the angels came in and talked to the shepherds who watched their sheep by night, he declared peace and goodwill toward all men. See, heaven is all about peace. It's bringing us a rest that we rest in the Lord. You see, without chaos, without this murder, without this crime life of America and around the world, we see with humans in the earthly pattern, but we can have the heavenly pattern. We can experience the heavenly pattern. He says this, say, but this disorder forms of government to which we are all become accustomed create no peace but control. No peace but control, which is their intended goal. You see, the earthly pattern is about controlling people. The kingdom pattern is about freeing people. Not controlling them, but freeing them. You are a free moral agent. God's spirit dwells on the inside of you, so you don't need to be police. You have an inward consciousness of God's presence and awareness. So you're able to keep yourself. Oh, that's going to be powerful as we go forward. You're going to be able to keep yourself governed up under that anointing, up under the word of God. It's keeping yourself. Your pastors do not have to go home and watch over you. Everywhere you go, when you go on vacation, you're away from the local assembly. They don't have to have a camera spying on you to see what your behaviors are. No, 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 no. That is control. But what we do have is that anointing. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, live on the inside of us. So it doesn't matter where we go. We're able to keep ourselves because of the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit keep us no matter where we are. And that is so important. This is where we now develop our culture. That you are in a free culture, not in a controlled culture. You're not in a controlled culture. You're in a free culture. That is being self-controlled under the oversight of the Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us individually. You see, and that's the difference of being in a denominational setting and in an apostolic setting, because the apostolic setting is designed to bring you freedom, not to bring you control. Freedom in Christ Jesus. Let's go on to see this. Earthly leadership. Man has the opposite goal of heaven. Earthly leadership structures is motivated by the desire to protect the rule of those in office. Earthly leadership structures is motivated by the desire to protect the rule of those who are in office. When we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we step out of the path of the wisdom from above. Now listen, he contrasts the difference between an earthly system that is designed to protect those in office versus the kingdom primary principle here is to protect the priority. You see, which is the wisdom from above. He says, when we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, he says, we have stepped out off the path of the wisdom from above. See, the apostolic is to protect the primary principles and government of heaven. Not the will of the people, but the will of God. And this is where, again, we find with the denomination setting versus the apostolic setting is that the denomination setting is protecting people's will. We don't want to offend people. We don't want people to get offended. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause people to be disagreeable with us or either cause people to leave our congregation. So we're in a position of trying to keep everybody by pleasing everybody. We don't want to preach a gospel that is ordered. A gospel that brings conviction. So when we start talking about the different cultures in the earth, in the world way of, the world way of doing things, when we talk about the homosexuality and we talk about the disobedient spirits, when we start talking about those things, people get ruffled in church. Even when we start talking about economy, people get ruffled in church. Because all they want to hear is a good, soothing message. Just let me know, Pastor, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to make it. And when I die, heaven's going to be my home type of message. That's all they want. Most people want to hear in those churches. They don't want to hear structure. They don't want to hear order. They want to hear that you have to change. You have to make an adjustment in how you treat your husband, how you treat your wife and your kids. There's a government rule of God of how we're to do those things. And we need to do it according to the scripture. it becomes offensive to those who don't want to come in alignment of government of the kingdom of God. See, God's way is a way of righteousness. It's the way of peace. It's the way of love. And that means order. We cannot have heavenly manifestation unless we have heavenly order first. And that's coming into alignment with the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teachers, and all the other administration giftings that has been released in to the body of Christ, coming in alignment and respecting every individual, every gift. Once that is established, then we're going to have divine order, heavenly manifestation, God speaking to us on a regular basis through our men and women of God, and we have a preceding rhema word, a fresh anointing upon our lives and upon our ministries when we come into this alignment. When we come into the respect of the order of God's house and God's order, that's when it's going to happen. The apostolic respects the kingdom order, do not respect people's wills. It respects God's will for people. God's will for people is what's respected, and that is what it protects, the priority order of God. He goes on to say that we're going to move forward. He said to see the seriousness of doing things according to human reasoning rather than heaven's. We need only remember one of the strongest rebuke of the gospel, the rebuke Jesus gave to his good friend Peter. If you recall, he says, Peter tried to talk Jesus out of going to die on the cross. Peter wanted to protect what he could see was a good thing. His primary concern and motivation was to keep the current benefit flowing to earth. Peter was trying to protect it. Jesus, the longer you stay here, we're going to have it. If you leave and you die, it's going to be all over, brother. I mean, we're going to have chaos and craziness like never before if you leave. You see, Peter wanted to protect that and not really protect the kingdom vision that Jesus was purposed in order to seal this covenant and this government in the earth. Jesus turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Perfect example where we try to protect the will of people instead of protecting the kingdom agenda of God. When you try to please people instead of please God. One of the key things the Apostle Thompson teaches is that what you compromise for, you will eventually lose. Whatever you compromise for, you will eventually lose. When you compromise to keep people in the chairs or in the pews, you eventually going to lose those members. You will eventually lose your position as pastor, and you'll become a servant of those people, and they will become the leader. You're going to become the student. They're going to become the leader. When they demand something, you're going to shift your agenda, the kingdom agenda, to please them. So if you don't have thousands of members in your congregation as a pastor, don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're not succeeded. What's best to have is the presence of God and the government of God in your church. So that when they come in and those embrace the government of God, you're going to have peace in the church. And not all that confusion. You have peace and not confusion. He goes on next thing to start talking to us about first apostles. As we talked about the kingdom priority or the kingdom order is dealing with the apostle first and the prophets. That the whole foundation of the body of Christ is built upon the apostles and the prophets. He said God gave gifts to the body first, apostles. And then prophets and teachers. And it went on to list the other. But Ephesians 4 talked about the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So we take both of that divine order. We take note of that divine order. The apostle first and the prophet second. Now, he talks about here, in introducing us to the apostle. He said, you have likely heard the term apostolic ministry. Apostolic ministry used more in recent years. He said, I am confident that we will hear and see more of it in the years to come. This term is something that needs defining early in this book, because I will make frequent references to it from here on. Through this term, I will be referring to the primary goals and objectives of the apostolic or apostles' leadership, and therefore the goals with which all the people under the apostle align themselves. Apostle leadership and whereby all who are under them will align themselves. When we talk about apostolic ministry, it's the apostolic call, his gift, sent to bring heaven to earth, and those who are under him align themselves with this belief and this teaching. He tried to make it more clear to us by saying, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he brought a key phrase, into the core value. He told them to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." His instruction taught them to long for heaven on earth. In the Lord's Prayer, we long for heaven on earth, meaning heavenly government, heavenly peace, heavenly rest, heavenly prosperity, all those things that is heaven to be in the earth is what we pray for. So therefore, it is the primary focus of the apostle, is to bring heaven to earth. To bring heaven to earth. Listen, let's go on. Let's see this. He says, "I believe this core value is the primary objective of the apostles' ministry." Of the apostles' ministry. Now, this is number four. I believe we're at number four, and make sure. Well, let me make sure we're right. Number three is when we back on page 60. Know what we got? Number two, when heaven is the model for our culture. In that paragraph, the last statement or the last sentence in that paragraph, it says, "When we primarily structure the environment of God's house to protect the will of the people, we step out of the path of the wisdom from above." That's number three. Make note of that, highlight that. That may come in a true and false statement or a fill in the blank statement, but question, but you need to highlight that, understand. That is number three. Number four, again, let's go back to page 61. We want to make sure we're clear. We don't want you getting confused. We want you to be on target. Number four, it says apostolic leadership or apostolic leaders. Make this number four. It's going to be long, so you don't align all this. He said, "Apostolic leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven's supernatural reality established on the earth." Okay, we'll just cut it short there and make that number four, okay? We'll make that number four. The apostolic leaders are focused on heaven, and their mission is to see heaven's supernatural reality established on the earth. This is what you're a part of. This is what you're in alignment with. See, you're not offended by signs, wonders, and miracles. You're not assigned about seeing healing ministry. You're not assigned about seeing order and structure in the church according to God's divine order or government. You're not offended when you see the apostolic pastors who are structuring people and challenging people and stretching people and challenging disorder in people's lives. Why? Because their primary structure is to see heaven reality in the earth. Heaven's reality in the earth, that each man, each woman is being perfected in the very image and likeness of God. That they are walking in the image of light and not darkness. So that structure has to take place. Even when they have to deal with confrontation, the apostle primary structure is to see heaven in the earth. See heaven in that man's life, that woman's life, that child's life. when they deal with teenage pregnancy, when they deal with the different topics that structure in people's families and home, and they are preaching about it and teaching about it, and sometimes even bringing people in to because they see things and they want to see them prosper. They want to see them go forward and prosper and have heaven's best on their life. And if we do not correct the error and acknowledge the error, then we're going to continue in the error and keep getting the satanic pollution in the church and in people, individual lives. And they're going and heaven and hell is going to continue to reign in those people, those persons' lives. The only way we can change this is through apostolic government. And that's teaching a heaven to earth principle in the government of God's word. Not compromising with people's wills, but bringing God's best to people. Heaven's best to people. He goes on to say in this paragraph, they long to see the evidence of heaven touch in the environment. My God, we want to bring the evidence of God, heaven in the earth. That's miracles, signs, and wonders. That is the anointing. That is holistic, seeing families and marriages working according to God's perfect will. Seeing people financially free from debt and living in prosperity. Having God's best, as the apostles say, eating the best, wearing the best, living in the best, riding the best of everything. That is heaven's will for earth. Not struggle, not lack, not sickness and disease. And not dying prematurely, that's not heaven's best. That's human error. That's human disobedience, human trying to find their own way for life and allowing the satanic forces to influence their decisions. That's where all that comes from. So, but you and I are under the mindset of heaven as our agenda. Heaven is our agenda. We are full of heaven as heaven is full of you and I. Heaven is full of you and I. The plans of God. Oh, glory to God. The plans of God for your life, my brother, my sister, my God, are many. God has many plans for your life to prosper you, to bring you a divine outcome in every situation in your life. God said, I want you on top in every situation in your life. I want you to have the best of everything. And there is no limitations. There are no limitations to what God wants to do in your life for you and your family. Let's finish this. The apostle, he says here, having this motivation as the foundation of a church leads to an entirely different emphasis in the church governing priority. You see, when we have this, we don't have the denomination of self-pleasing, man-pleasing, eye-serving, flesh-pleasing. No, no. When we have heaven to earth government and an apostolic, the apostles' ministry operating in our local church, we're going to have kingdom order. We're going to have kingdom order. That's what people should want. That's what people, Christians, should desire. But until they are taught, until pastors and leadership come to the realization that the apostolic ministry is missing in their church, you're going to continue to have the same old, until that happens when people desire God's best for their life. God's best for their life. And not those old excuses, you know, it's not the will of God for me. Maybe that's not what God wants me to have. Maybe God wants me to be poor so he can get some glory out of it. Maybe God wants me sick so he can get some glory out of it. That's not the will of God. God get the glory when you prosper. God get the glory when you walk in divine health and never get sick. That's God's getting the glory. When you're always prospering financially and never have another broke day in your life, that's God getting the glory. When your life is full of blessings and increase and you're constantly abounding from faith to faith, glory to glory, and victory to victory, that's where God gets the glory. That's where God gets the glory from. And not poverty and lack and sickness and disease and premature death. The apostle will make the presence of God, will make the presence of God the worship of God. the worship of God, in the agenda of heaven, the top priority in the environment. And apostolic government is designed to protect these priorities. That's why your apostle is so stern. That's why he's so sharp. That when he see flesh and he see you trying to whimper out of God's best for your life and the people's life, he get tough on you. He get toughs on you. Why? Because you're trying to find a man's pattern to create a heavenly government in your local church. That is not going to work, my friend. You're going to have to allow the gospel and the doctrine of the apostles in from Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Thessalonians, Timothy. You got to allow these teachings, these doctrines, to become the principles that govern your church activity. That your people come in alignment with the doctrine of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ, again, being the chief apostle. Men wrote the gospel as they was led by the Holy Spirit, or inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul says there is no private interpretation of prophecy. There's nothing private about this. This is open. This is given to us, the body of Christ. And our embracing of the teachings that's in the scriptures is what we have to live according to and establish our churches on. And establish the people on. Your people will be strong. They will be solid. They will be people who know how to deal with battles, know how to deal with issues, and not a deal with their life. They will not always be at the prayer lines and need you to lay hands on them all the time because they know how to pray for themselves, because they're coming to maturity and they're no longer children. Pastors, listen to me. Your congregation cannot stay children under your control, up under your thumbprint. They have to mature where they are free and they're walking in the liberty and they're being self-governed by that anointing, and the teaching and training you done poured into their spirit. That's how they have to live, as free mortal agents in the kingdom of God. They need you as a pastor. They need you as the apostle. They need you as the prophet. They need you as the evangelist and the teacher in their lives. So I'm not saying they should learn and just lead the church and go on all by their business. No, they should continue having their hands on the work of the kingdom. As they mature, they should become fellow laborers. They should become fellow citizens in the kingdom. They should begin to take over ministry and do ministry, not depart from ministry. They should become the laymen. They should become the one who's going to prison ministry. They should be the ones in nursing home ministry. They should be the one in the hospital ministry. They should be the one doing counseling. They can come into all these areas of ministry that is needed in youth ministry and youth counseling. Because why? They are matured in the things of God. They're matured in the things of God. Because why? The apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral, and the teaching ministries have been poured out into their spirits. And they are mindful of the things of God. They're mindful of the things of God. Listen, you want to continue meditating the Word of God and standing in the scriptures continually so that you may know the will of God on every hand. About the apostolic, about the prophetic, the prophet's ministry. We're going to go further as we go to chapter 3 and for lesson 7. As we go further, you're going to embrace this holistically. Open your spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and remove all doubts and all fears about the Word of God. And ask God to give you revelation knowledge so you can embrace the apostolic, teaching Apostle Thompson, all his instructors, because it will change your life and equip you for a great work of ministry. Until next time, I see you then. Be blessed, and God's grace be upon you.